Good morning. I am Commissioner Deanna Keller, Portage-Tacoma Audit Committee Chair, calling to order the virtual audit committee meeting on Thursday, October 2nd, 2025. Commissioner Meyer, Audit Committee Vice Chair, is also president. The time is now 10:01 a.m. I now call for approval of the April 24th, 2025 meeting minutes. Does anyone have any changes? Okay, hearing none, the minutes stand approved as proposed. Next, I would like to introduce Don Kelly, Director of Accounting, and the Port Auditor, who can provide a brief overview of the meeting and introduce our guest presenters.
Thank you, and good morning, Commissioners. Today we have two presentations for you. They're going to be the entrance conference from the Washington State Auditor for the 2024 Accountability Audit, followed by the entrance from Baker Tilly, formerly known as Moss Adams, for the 2025 financial statement audit. These are somewhat routine, been through these before, so I'm just gonna hand it right off. From the state auditor, we have Chris Ruiz and Carolyn Seeberger.
I guess I'll go ahead and start. Good morning. Thank you everyone for being here today and the opportunity you've given SAO to discuss the port's audit. As mentioned, my name is Chris Reese. I'm the audit supervisor of this audit. And joining me today is Carolyn Seeberger. You also see Sandra Goshon's name on the slide. And she's not able to attend today, but she does send her best wishes for this audit. Before we get started, it's important to note that the presentation we have prepared for you today represents a summary of topics we would like to bring to your attention. And after the presentation today, we do have a audit agenda that we'd like to send out to each board member as soon as we commence today's meeting. Go to the next slide, please. Okay. This slide here, just give you some background. Going forward from this slide, after the slides, Carolyn's gonna take over the meeting, so I'll let her speak. But after the slide here, I'll give you some information about what we do in the Washington State Auditor's Office. We are tasked with being the auditor of all public funds within the state. On this slide, you see we do around 2,700 audits a year. And for you, we're doing the accountability only. And we also do a work paper review of Moss Adams, Baker Tilly. Their work paper will be reviewed along with this audit. Let's see, I think that's about it. Go ahead and pass it over to Carolyn.
Oh, thank you. We can stay on that slide. We're going to conduct an accountability audit that will cover the period of January 1st, 2024 through December 31st, 2024. For this audit, we utilized a risk-based audit approach in selecting areas for further review. And then as part of the process, we completed a number of audit planning steps that included risk assessments with key members of the port, reviewing minutes of the governing body or the audit committee, or the commissioner meetings, and conducted several analytical procedures, reviewing prior audit results and assessing areas of common risks that are with ports throughout the state. Based on those planning procedures performed, we have identified the following areas for inclusion in our audit. So we're going to take a look with accounts payable for some travel expenditures and electronic fund transfers, tracking and monitoring of theft-like sensitive assets such as computers, tools, and equipment. We'll be taking a look at the software conversion with accounts payable system, some surplus equipment, financial condition. We'll be reviewing for indications of financial distress, and then with open public meetings, so compliance with those meetings and the executive session requirements. And then at the conclusion of our audit, we will publish a report showing the results of our review, including the areas examined. While we have selected the areas shared with you today, please know that we are also remain open to any suggestions for additional areas that the governing body or management would like us to consider. And with that, are there any questions on any of those areas before we go to the next slide? Okay, well, we can go on to the next slide. When a government requests SAO accept an audit performed by a CPA firm in lieu of our own audit, and we agree, we will confirm this understanding in a notification letter. It's important that we review the work of others prior to the audit, the next scheduled audit, in order to allow time to address any concerns that may impact the financial statement audit or the accountability audit. Then we will review their work and determine if anything causes any concern about the quality. We will remain alert and report to you on whether any limitations restricted our analysis of the other audit. We will also notify you if we notice any instance in which a material misstatement of the financial statements has or may have resulted from fraud or suspected loss. And then lastly, we appreciate being notified when the government when your government solicits any new proposals for CPA audits. The Office of the Washington State Auditor is able to conduct most financial and federal audits that you may be contracting for, and often at a lower cost. As such, we would be happy to submit a proposal for your consideration. And we can go on to the next slide. And then an important part of the office is the continuous communication between our audit staff and yours. There are a number of ways that we strive to stay connected throughout the audit process, some of which we have included on this slide for you today. However, we would like to just draw your attention to two of the audit methods that we designed to keep you updated throughout our audit and ultimately share our results with you. During those weekly status meetings, we do have this once a week. These are one of our most important tools for keeping you updated from week to week, as the name suggests. This will be recurring throughout the audit when we do this with the audit liaison and then anyone that is also helping on the port side to help us. And we so that way we can keep communication with them as well. And then also we like to have, you know, the exit conference. We're committed to ensuring that you have the opportunity to hear directly from us on the results of the audit. We will work with management to schedule an exit conference meeting and invite all governing bodies. Although we usually do that in April when the next audit committee meeting happens. Okay, and we can go on to the next slide. Throughout the course of the audit, we may find recommendations that are necessary to bring to your attention. Our office has three primary levels of audit recommendations that we are used to convey the significance of the audit issues identified. First, there are audit findings. They constitute the most significant level of audit recommendation that can be issued. Audit findings are the only level of reporting included in their entirety in our audit report. In addition, if a finding is issued, the port will be given the opportunity to provide a response to the finding, and that will be published in our report. This is important to help readers not only understand the issue found, but also any information that the port wishes to share on how the issue itself or its planned course of correction going forward. In addition, please note that certain external standards may require audit issues to be reported as audit findings, and these standards are commonly encountered in the financial and for audit engagements, though. Then there's management letters. Those are audit recommendations less significant than an audit finding, but still important enough to bring to the attention of the governing body and management in a formal letter. While management letters are not published in their entirety in our audit reports, they are referenced and still constitute a public document. In addition, it is important to address management letters as if they go unresolved, they could be elevated in reporting level to an audit finding in future engagements. And then lastly, we have exit items, which constitute our lowest level of written recommendations. Exit items are very normal in the audit process and are often likened to housekeeping items, as they often address best practices items or minor non-compliance matters. And we'll provide a full list of exit items identified to management for their consideration at the end of our engagement. We would also, next slide. We would also like to take the opportunity to share with you a few reminders about our audit. First, our audit remains committed to protecting and the safe handling of our confidential data, of your confidential data. We recognize that the audit may have a need to review information such as employee payroll records and other sensitive information. When this occurs, please let us know immediately that the information contains sensitive information so that we can ensure that the data is adequately safeguarded throughout the audit process. Please note that if we have a number of mechanisms to assist with safe handling of information and our staff are continuously trained to ensure this care is maintained. If you have any questions on our protocols, please feel free to reach out. Second, we have also shared an estimate of our audit costs in the packet that will be sent out after this meeting. And then, should there be any concerns during our audit process, please know that we have an established process for you to voice those concerns. Our audit dispute process is designed to provide you with access to progressive levels of management within our organizations to hear your concerns. We encourage that you start with your local audit manager, which is Sandra Groshong, but please know that contacts for additional representatives have been included in that packet that you will receive. And then it does go all the way up to the state auditor, should that be needed. And then lastly, we always like to remind our governments about the loss reporting requirements. Should you become aware of any known or suspected losses of public funds, please note that state law requires that you immediately file a notification with our office. This process is easy to perform, and you can file a notification directly from our website should the need occur. Upon receipt of any notification, a team of specialists will review the notification and determine if any follow-up investigation is needed. Okay, next slide. State and local governments may also be required to report cybersecurity issues, including security breaches and cyber fraud. Reporting is required to the AGO if a single security incident affects more than 500 Washington residents. Reporting to SAO may also be necessary if the event involves financial records or finances. The requirement to report is not dictated by a number of affected parties or whether you experienced a financial loss. State and local government employees should alert us to suspected fraud and notifications that can be made on our website, and a link is also provided on this slide, but then also in the packet. To learn more about SAO reporting requirements for cybersecurity issues, please visit the website that is linked, which is our website. Okay, next slide. Beyond the regularly scheduled audit, please note that we have support services available at no additional cost to you year-round. First, our local government support team is available to assist with annual financial reporting and accounting services. From one-on-one technical assistance, various resources available on our website, and a client help desk, the local government support team strives to ensure our local governments are prepared to meet their annual reporting requirements. In addition, they offer several trainings around the state and virtually each year to keep you updated on the latest accounting and reporting topics. In addition, the Center for Government Innovation is another great resource for local governments. The center provides free resources and services to help local governments throughout Washington work better, solve problems, and improve operations. This team of specialists is available by phone, online, or in person to offer assistance at no additional cost. And we can go on to the next slide, which this concludes our presentation for the FY24 accountability audit. So if there's any questions, please go ahead and ask now. Otherwise, this is what we have today.
Carolyn, thank you so much. Anyone else have questions for Carolyn?
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Carolyn. Appreciate it.
You.
All right, thank you, Carolyn. No question, but just a comment. I'm glad we're doing 1 year, not 3 years this time. With that, we're going to move on to the presentation from Baker Tilly. Today we have Dan Roberts and Olga Darlington. Dan and Olga, I'm not sure who wants to begin, but it is yours when you're ready.
Thank you, Don. Good morning, everyone. Today we are presenting our entrance communications for our financial statement audit of the port's financials for 2025 audit or fiscal year. If we can jump to the next slide. Actually, we can jump to the next slide. The first thing I wanted to share with you is an update on our firm. As some of you may have already heard, that Moss Adams earlier this year combined with another similar size firm, Baker Tilly. We combined forces in June and will have taken the name of Baker Tilly as the one uniform name of our firm. So if we go to the next slide, some of the benefits of this particular combination and the reason we did it is shared resources for particularly expanding our technical resources, our international capabilities. We expanded our geographical footprint from just being primarily west of the Rockies and the West Coast, kind of a based firm to covering the geographic footprint of the entire country. We have more consulting and advisory resources available to our clients while still being aligned along the industry lines as we have in the past. What that means for the ports audit is that not a lot will change from our team standpoint. If we go to the next slide, you will see that our team that serves the port is entirely the same, including myself as a lead client service principal and Dan Roberts as an audit senior manager, as well as Max Jasper, who is our IT senior manager. And our entire team. However, as I said, additional capabilities, should the port require those at any point in time, will be available to the port. We do have one change on the team this year. You may recall Lori Tisch was our QC reviewer for the past few years. She retired from the firm earlier this year, so we're bringing in a new QC reviewer, Ashley Austin, who works on other ports and governmental entities in the region. So she's a new face on this slide. Next slide summarizes our services that we're engaged to perform for the Port of Tacoma. Just as a reminder, we are performing independent audit of the financial statements of the port, of the enterprise funds, so the port itself, as well as the post-employment healthcare benefits trust, which is a fiduciary fund within the financial statements. We are performing our audit following the governmental auditing standards and ensuring the compliance with the single audit requirements, so uniform grant requirements for federal awards that have been awarded and spent by the port in fiscal year 25. We'll complete our procedures was agreed upon, or our services was agreed upon procedures engagements with the reports that go to our regulators at EPA and the Department of Energy or Department of Ecology. Next slide, please. We always like to share with you the significant areas of risk that we cover, that we focus on during the audit. So a revenue is always considered an audit risk in most of the engagements where clients earn revenue. So we analyze the revenue by type using analytical procedures, sometimes confirmations and detailed testing procedures. The environmental liabilities and other claims against the ports are also is an area of significant risk from the audit standpoint, because they do involve estimates based on management's knowledge of transactions, historical patterns, and other information. So we evaluate those estimates, make sure they're reasonable, make sure they're consistent from year to year with transactions that transpired and new information that comes to light. Debt and related balances, such as interest rate payment agreements, we ensure that the debt outstanding balances are confirmed at year end and are recorded correctly. Debt payments are made throughout the year as scheduled. We make sure that the debt covenants are met and there's no exposure to the port from any of the non-compliance from the debt service standpoint. On the next slide, there's just a couple of more areas. Internal controls is a big area of focus for us. We spend a lot of time, particularly in our interim, during our interim field work on assessing the internal control structure to ensure that the financial information is gathered and accumulated accurately and completely and timely. So we focus on major business cycles such as revenue, cash disbursements, cash receipts, payroll, and so forth. So that's a big area of our focus, on which we base a lot of our other substantive testing procedures, whether it's analytical or tests of details. Right. And on next slide, how do we assess risk? We start, of course, in our planning phase, just looking at preliminary financial results for the part of the year. And then we hold risk discussions with the executives at the port, at the members of the committees, and just employees throughout the port. Throughout the organization, we ask questions, those that are could potentially show us if there is any exposure of the port to non-compliance with laws and regulations or any breakdown in controls that could potentially indicate a material misstatement that could occur. We ask about significant communications because between the port and any regulatory oversight agencies, any regulators, anything that could come to light there, and as well as looking at the tone at the top at the port. So any attitude, awareness, ethics, concerns, anything like that that could show us any potential exposure. And of course, we do additional surprise procedures that we change up every year to make sure that we keep our audit fresh. We do welcome any comments from the audit committee and the board of directors at the port, of course. So if you have any interest in having any discussions with respect to risks, or you have any questions, further questions, we're welcome those anytime between this presentation and our exit presentation, which will come after we complete the audit. So feel free to reach out to us at any point, or we can address them today as well. On the next slide, we do have our audit timeline that we would like to share with you. Of course, our audit starts with a planning process in the fall, which we started in September. I'm meeting with management, setting out our audit plan, identifying those risk, reviewing that preliminary information, which will follow up with our interim fieldwork, which will begin next week. That will be the phase when we do testing of those internal controls that I mentioned, any other significant transactions that transpired throughout the year. We'll come back in February to complete our final audit procedures and look at year-end results. Our plan is to complete our audit as we have historically done by the end of March, and report to you in April board meeting. So very similar timeline as we have done it in the past. We can skip to the next slide. I always like to mention to you any new accounting pronouncements that will be effective in the current year that will have impact on the final report at the end of the year. And on the next slide, you will see the list is not very long. The good news about these new upcoming standards is also that they're primarily disclosure-based, so we'll enhance some disclosures to the financial statements with GASB 102 on the risks specifically. So going back to that risk discussion that we had earlier, there is a requirement now to have a risk disclosure in the financial, in the footnotes to the financial statements. So that standard is effective for 2025. Once again, no changes to the numbers or the look or feel financial statements, just the footnotes. Financial reporting model improvements, there is some aspects of that that may have impact on the port's reporting next year. And then another disclosure statement, GASB 104, related to capital assets will be effective in 2026. So not as significant of an impact as the few recent standards that we implemented by the port. So a little bit of an easier implementation this year. And with that, that completes my my opening entrance presentation for you today, and I welcome any questions.
So questions, any of our staff? It looks like Don Meyer has his hand raised up.
Yeah, thank you. Olga, considering the world that we live in with the subject of tariffs, for example, and then your recent developments when you talk about certain risk disclosures, I don't know what that means. Could you, talk to us a little bit about, interpret that for me, if you could.
Yes.
What,
Yes.
I got risk driving home. So the world that we live in is we got risk because of, federal policies. So how do you deal with all of that, or what does that really mean?
Yes. Excellent question. The GASB received a lot of feedback from constituents about the very specific question you're asking. It's like there's so many risks that our entity could be exposed to in an infinite number of timeline and an infinite number of ways. It's impossible to, do we really need to make the footnotes to the financial statements that much longer than they already are? So the GASB did provide some framework for that reporting. First of all, limiting the timeline for when the risks are being analyzed to being just within the 1 year after the financial statements are issued. So it's a much shorter line of timeline. We don't have to look too far out. And two, there is parameters around how when their risk disclosure should be included. As far as, we don't look necessarily at anything and everything that's out there that we cannot necessarily control, but we can provide some risk disclosures that we are aware of and is measurable. So.
Yeah, I just the world that we live in has so much more uncertainty today than it had just a few years ago, obviously. And so I what you're saying is there must be some criteria they have in that, whether it's the timeline or whatever else.
I could add some color to that, Commissioner. The standard that Olga's talking about is really about it's a certain risks, and those are really related to concentration risk, whereby if we had, most of our revenues from a particular customer who had some issues or risk of constraints, and that could be maybe a governmental decision that came down that affected us. But we've preliminarily looked at the standard and the required reporting, and we don't think that there will be a disclosure. That's not a guarantee. Of course, things can change, but based on what the standard is requiring, we don't anticipate anything for this year.
Very good. Thank you, Don.
You're welcome.
Thank you,
Oba.
Yes.
Okay, I guess it's back to me then. So, Olga, thank you so much for your presentation, and Dan
Thank
for your
you.
time this morning. Commissioner Meyer, I do want to tell you, I know that you're always thinking about the cost, so I will tell you the anticipated cost for this. I got ahead of you this time. It's going to be about $126,000 this year for the port. That you're going to obviously remember that's a little higher than the Alliance, and there's a couple reasons for that. That 126 includes the financial statement audit, which is about 90. That's really where the difference is, because as Olga pointed out, we have debt and we have environmental liability in the port. Those things don't exist in the Alliance, so it makes the audit a little more complex. We also have the other post-employment benefits for the port, which the Alliance doesn't have. That's another 10,000 or so, and then the difference of 20, about 26,000, is for the single audit. Both the port and the Alliance will undergo single audit. So, total cost anticipated this year, 126,000.
Does that include any, if I could ask, Don, does that include any costs that we incur for actuarial analysis?
No, we have a separate contract for actuarial analysis. I don't remember the exact amount. It's not very expensive, but
Okay.
that's a separate contract.
Thank you, Don.
You're welcome. So with
Anyone
that,
else?
oh, sorry, I don't want to
That's
take over
okay,
here.
Don. I'm just checking you to see if anyone else has
Sure.
questions, conversation. Okay, I'm going to lead it to you
Okay, so
to.
that concludes the entrance presentations for the upcoming accountability audit and the financial statement audit. The only other thing we have on our agenda, looking ahead, just to give you an idea of what's coming next, we'll be back together in April for the exits, and you'll get the results of both of those audits. I think that's the 30th. Pretty sure that's already on the calendar. And then we anticipate in about October, a year from now, October 7th, I think is the date we've picked, we'll be back here to kick off the following year's entrances. So with that, that's all I have for you this morning. Is anything you have for staff or anything I can do for you?
So Don, you're great, and our staff, thank you so much. Thank you to our outside auditors, both the state auditors, and as well as Baker Tilly. It's going to take me a little while to, you know, like change my speech from Moss Adams to Baker Tilly, but thank you. And being and Olga, it's really great to see you. And Carolyn, thank you so much as well, and your team. The one question that I have for all of you that I think that Port of Tacoma commissioners are concerned about is the derivation of, you know, like project managers from, you know, third-party entities with regard to Port of Seattle, Northwest Seaport Alliance, and Port of Tacoma. Can you talk about a little bit about the designation about, you know, teams that take a look at our books?
I can certainly start with that. So we do have two separate audit teams that perform the audits of the Port of Tacoma and the Port of Seattle. So Dan Roberts, for example, who is a primary lead on the audit for the Port of Tacoma, is not involved with the audit of Port of Seattle at all. He's never served on that audit team, although he does work with other ports, seaports, large seaports. So he has that port experience that he can bring to the table. As well as all of our staff team, from Dan down to everyone else. And as I said, Port of Seattle is a completely separate audit team. For the Northwest Seaport Alliance, we do have communication between the two teams, more so at the top level. So Dan Roberts and Anna Waldron, who leads our Port of Seattle audit, do communicate regularly because the Seaport Alliance, of course, has components of both the North Harbor and the South Harbor. So there is some communication primarily to ensure that we have consistency and efficiency in our audit in sharing that information as it relates to specifically the Northwest Seaport Alliance revenues, projects, and so forth. So that's how we kind of separate and ensure the segregation between the two teams and collaboration.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Dan, do you have any questions or things you want to add to that?
No, nothing to add.
Carolyn, how about you?
I was actually going to let Chris take this one just to make sure I answer it correctly. So I'll let him answer.
All right. So if I understand correctly, you're asking how we keep the two entities separate for our team. Is that the question? So we do have, so we're unique. So like we have a separate team that does the Port of Seattle audit, accountability audit. And we have a team that obviously does the Port of Tacoma, and our team actually also does the the Northwest Seaport Alliance audit. We have systems in place that we separate out each entity type or entities' data from each other. We have separate, you know, meetings, everything. But for our team, since we're small, we have Carolyn oversees the port and the Northwest Seaport Alliance audit. And I also supervise Carolyn in that respect. We do have separate auditors at times that come and assist, but we try to keep them segregated as well to kind of minimize any sort of double work or confusion between the two entities, because I know they're real similar, but they're definitely different audits. And I believe the Seattle, the team that does the Seattle port also has a similar type setup, but they're only auditing the Port of Seattle. So our issues are, do keep those separate. We may need to communicate with the Port of Seattle folks if we see issues or things that come arise, just kind of give them a heads up on things we're seeing. But normally we don't really communicate, or say we don't really meet with them too much when we talk about the port. of Tacoma or the Northwest Seaport Alliance unless we need to. Does that answer your
Great.
Question?
Thank you so much, Chris. I appreciate that. And as you can tell, we want to make sure that we're very strategic, whatever you want to say, but just make sure that we do whatever we need to do to make sure that our public is knows that we can deal with public facilities or whatever. So, Don, do you want to say anything?
Well, I think Commissioner Keller, you're talking about is, you know, from my vantage point and as an audit committee member, it's stewardship of public funds and ensuring that the accountability piece is there, particularly on the capital improvement side. And that's really, I think, Commissioner Keller, I think based on previous conversations, I think that's what the real thing that we're honing in on from our perspective, and it pertains more along the lines of not Port of Tacoma specifically, but it's actually a topic of the Northwest Seaport Alliance. So I think you're questioning about how you separate those two, who does what is very appropriate. And I think that I'm satisfied that the comments by Carolyn and Olga and Chris and Dan are, they give me a satisfaction that it's going to be handled right.
Great. Thank you so much. Anybody else have any other comments?
Commissioner Keller, could Commissioner Keller?
Yes.
Could you
go ahead.
stay on after this meeting for just a little while?
Yes, of course.
Thank you.
And with no further business before the committee, we will adjourn. The time is now 10:37 a.m. And thank you so much.